Hey man, I'm gonna talk, teach, preach. It's kind of hard to teach for me, just because you get so excited and you just find yourself start preaching. Amen. And that's all right. I've heard somebody call it treaching before. It's teaching and preaching. So you may get a little bit of that this morning. But hey, when you're talking about the Lord, you can't help but get excited. Amen. You can't help just to feel that energy and to feel the presence of the Lord. And I appreciate that so much. I'm going to be talking this morning about doctrine, apostolic doctrine, truth, and really truth is what we are after here this morning. And I have thrown a title on it, and my title is That I May Know Him. That I May Know Him. Amen. So I'm going to be reading from John 1 and then Matthew 16, and you can turn there right now if you want. I'll get to those just here in a moment. John 1 and Matthew 16. And I will try to be conscious of time. And I told Brother Rice this morning wasn't sure if I would finish or not. I'm hoping that I do. But sometimes whenever you dive into this sort of study, it's really hard to get all of it out in just about 40 minutes of time. So bear with me with that. But I'm going to be talking about these scriptures, John 1 and Matthew 16, these are two foundational references for doctrine. And when I say doctrine, the definition for the word doctrine is a belief or set of beliefs. Basically, it literally is what you believe. Now, not all doctrine is true. Some doctrine can be false, and we've all heard the term false doctrine. So just because you have a set of beliefs does not mean that those beliefs are true, right? And today I want to focus on is more than just doctrine. I'm not actually here to talk about doctrine as a mere set of beliefs, because you have a set of beliefs and I have a set of beliefs and the people in the back have a set of beliefs. And there are a lot of different styles and tastes represented in this sanctuary here this morning. Some of you like onions and the rest of us are saved. It's just that simple. You laugh, but I'm serious. Okay? There's many different styles, many different tastes, and not all the tastes are the same. How many of you like country music in here? Would you raise your hand? Country music. Country music. Okay. How many like contemporary music? All right. How many like black gospel? Oh, yeah. How many like southern gospel? Well, pray for those folks who just raised their hand. I have this fear. Easton is starting to like Southern gospel music. There's a couple songs that we had for a skit, a twist and shout skit, and he wants to play those songs. And I'm like, oh, Lord help us. So you see, we have all different, we have all kinds of different things, different tastes, different beliefs. And one person's value system may put more importance on something else, and that's a matter of opinion and a matter of belief. But doctrine, We're not here just to look at doctrine as what your set of beliefs are about this and what your set of beliefs are about that. What we are here to look at and what we really want to discover is truth. Is truth, right? Because truth is what really matters. It's not what you believe that matters. Is if you believe the truth or not is what matters. Is what you believe, is it the truth? That's what makes all the difference. Amen. Has anybody ever heard of Lawn Chair Larry? Lawn Chair Larry. I wanted to bring a lawn chair in here this morning. Let me tell you about Lawn Chair Larry. Larry's boyhood dream was to fly, but fate conspired to keep him from his dream. He joined the Air Force, but his poor eyesight disqualified him from the job of being a pilot. After he was discharged from the military, he sat in his backyard watching jets fly overhead. He hatched his weather balloon scheme while sitting outside in his extremely comfortable Sears lawn chair. He purchased 45 weather balloons from an Army-Navy surplus store. You can see where this story's going. He tied them to his tethered lawn chair and filled the 4-foot diameter balloons with helium. Then armed with some sandwiches and a six-pack of probably you-know-what and a pellet gun, He strapped himself into his lawn chair where he would enjoy a few hours of flight before coming back down. But things didn't work out quite as Larry had planned. He had planned to sever the anchor and lazily afloat of a height of about 30 feet, so he thought, where he would enjoy a few hours of flight before coming down, back down. When his friends had cut the cord, anchoring the lawn chair to his Jeep, he did not float lazily up to 30 feet. Instead, he streaked into the LA sky as if shot from a cannon. He didn't level off at 100 feet. He didn't level off at 1,000 feet, but after climbing, he leveled off at nearly 16,000 feet in the air. At that height, he felt he couldn't risk shooting any of the balloons down, lest he unbalance the load and really find himself in trouble. So he stayed there, drifting cold and frightened with his drinks and his sandwiches for more than 14 hours. He crossed over the primary approach corridor of LAX, where startled Transworld Airlines and Delta Airline pilots radioed reports in of the strange sight. One report said that a pilot radioed and they said, Delta 247, we have an unidentified flying object, but we believe it is a man in a lawn chair. You can't make this stuff up. You can literally Google this. This is not a fake story. When he was finally rescued, a reporter on the scene asked him why he had done it, to which he replied, well, a man can't just sit around. Lawn chair Larry, he's my hero this morning. But here's my point. He had believed, thoroughly believed, that he would be okay by doing this. So again, my point is that it doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is whether you believe the truth or not. That's what really matters. I know we all come to church for many different reasons, but our quest this morning, as it should be every time we come to this place, is that we are looking for truth. We want the truth. We are seeking after the truth. We want the truth. And so we look at John chapter 1. In verse 1, familiar portion of scripture, John 1 and 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John reaches back past creation to the very beginning. And if you jump down to verse John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John here gives us a snapshot from the beginning. He takes us back past creation. He speaks about the Word. The Word is the Logos. It is the revelation of God. It is God revealed to us. And then God manifested that revelation, that translation. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So again, we are looking for truth. We are looking at doctrine, and doctrine matters. Truth really does matter. And this is the fundamental doctrine that God gives to us, the foundation of all beliefs. All of our beliefs as apostolics, all of our beliefs as Christians, all of our beliefs as human beings. If we want to access truth, all truth is summed up in these two things. Number one, there is a God. There is a God. This is ground zero. This is the starting point. If you're ever going to be in a Bible study with somebody, you have to be on level playing field, and you all have to agree there is a God. Truth number one. The second, that God has made himself known to us in the manifestation of Jesus Christ. In the manifestation of Jesus Christ. This is where it all starts. This is ground zero. If you want to get this truth in your heart. I believe this, this is when we finally have this truth, Brother Hogan, whenever we understand there is a God and that God has made himself known to us through the manifestation of Jesus Christ. When we understand that, when we have that truth inside of us, I believe that is when God will open up the windows of heaven and really begin to pour out a demonstration of the Holy Ghost, a demonstration of the Spirit. When we get that truth, because that is where it all starts. Amen. We must get that right. And even to even worship correctly, the Bible says that we have to worship not only in spirit, but also in truth. I was just invited out to not a church service, but a function that was going on at a church, and they were practicing some worship songs, and they want to invite me out to listen to their church worship. And so I went, and it was nice. They sang nice worship songs, and there was some worship even going on in the practice, but there was just something funny about it. There was something that was missing. There was something that was really lacking. And I told the family later that really what it boils down to is they were worshiping in spirit, but they had no truth. Truth matters. Truth makes the difference. Amen. Everything hinges on this truth. Everything revolves around this truth. So when you get this right, I believe this is the very thing that will change your life. If you think that this doesn't really matter, if you think that it doesn't really matter what you believe, it's not really that important, then my friend, I believe that you do not have an understanding of just how great God is. What did Jesus say? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. You shall know the truth. Notice this goes beyond just believing the truth. You shall know the truth. Can I say to you this morning that it is possible to believe the truth and not fully know it? It is possible to believe the truth, but yet not fully know it. I believe there are many Christians, far too many Christians, that believe Jesus Christ is Lord, but they do not know Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's right.
We have too many Christians that say, I believe the truth. Yes, but do you know the truth? You believe it because you feel it in your spirit, and you believe it because you come into an atmosphere like this. You come into Landmark and you sit on our pews, and you worship with us, and you come to an altar and you feel the Spirit of God tug on your heart, and you feel conviction, and through your experimental testimony of your life, you believe the truth. But do you know what you believe? There's a difference. And this is what Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not, listen to me, it's not merely truth, it's known truth. It's known truth. Do you know what you believe? Do you know what you believe? You got to know truth in order to experience real freedom in your life. You've got to know truth to experience real freedom in your life. It's known truth that makes you free. I'll go a step further. We've got too many Christians that are bummed out and not experiencing the liberty that God intended for them to have in this life, and it's simply because we don't know the truth. Do you know what you believe? Do you know his word? Or is all we know is what we're given on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night? Is that the extent of our knowledge? Is that the extent of us knowing the word of God, remembering a sermon title? Is that the extent of it? You say, oh, Bryce, I've got a Bible. I've got a Bible. I've got a Bible on my phone. I've got a Bible on my computer. I've got a Bible on my watch. I've got a Bible on every shelf at home. Yes, but do you know the Bible? Do you know the word aside from Acts 2:38 and John 3:16 and Genesis 1:1? Do you know the scripture? Do you know the word of God? Amen. You look back at the history of a church. There was a time where we started to see a real a real watered down version of the truth. In fact, the truth actually disappeared. Amen. They would make Bibles so expensive back in that day that nobody was able to afford them. Nobody was able to take one home. Nobody was able to bring one to church. The only word that these people got back in those days was what they were getting from the priest at that time. Listen to me. If you are going to know the truth, it has to be something that extends outside of these four walls. Amen. It has to be more than what we get at this place, but that has to go from here to out there. We have to open up the Word of God in our homes and say, Jesus, I want to know you. That I may know him. We've got to know it for ourselves. And that only comes by us laying aside time, opening up our Bible for ourselves, and exploring the Word of God. You've got to know truth, church. And if you don't get anything out of this morning, please get this. You have got to know truth. You have got to know truth, because when you stand before God, you are going to be accountable. You are going to be accountable. I won't stand beside God with you. Brother Rice won't stand with you and answer for this, this, and this. You can't stand there and say, well, my pastor didn't tell me. You can't stand there and say, well, my Sunday school teacher didn't tell me. My youth pastor didn't tell me as I was growing up. I never heard this. Let me ask you, did God give you his word? Did God give you his word? Yes, he gave you his word. It's the same word he gave me. It's the same word he gave Brother Hogan. It's the same word he gave Brother Bishop. It's the same word he gave Brother Rice. It's the same word. It's our responsibility to know truth. It's our responsibility. Here's a statistic for you. Staggering statistic. And we went over this, our first hyphen group. Very first launch that we had everybody gathered in our living room, and this was probably one of the first things that I covered. Listen to this statistic. 50% of all fundamental Christians who go to a secular college, after 4 years, 50% come out of college denying that God even exists. How is that possible? I'm not talking about they backslid a little bit. I'm not talking about their relationship with God isn't as strong as it once was. They deny the fact that God even exists. How is it possible to deny something that you know irrevocably? It's not. The problem is not in our fellowship. The problem is not in our community. The problem lies in our failure of knowing the Word of God. The problem lies in our failure of knowing the truth. I can't stress to you enough how important it is to pick up your Bible and to pray, God, I want to know you more. God, I want to know truth. God, I've got to know you. God, I've got to know you. Oh, that I might know him. There is nothing more valuable than the Word of God. There is nothing more precious than his Word. And once you get that into your heart, once you actually know something, here's the thing. No one can say anything different. No one can take that away and say, well, that ain't true and that's not right, because you can say, I know it. I know it. I've seen it. I've touched it. I've felt it. 1 John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. I know it. I know it. No one can take this away. You've already heard too much. You've already seen too much. You've already heard the truth. You know the truth, and no one can take that away from you. You have to know truth, and you have to know it for yourself. Truth is so important. Truth is so important. Doctrine is so important. Your set of beliefs, is it truth? Is what you believe in true? Or are you sitting in the lawn chair tied to helium balloons, believing that that will work? We've seen many other forms of bad doctrine all throughout history. If you look throughout history, you look at different cults that were formed among, you know, cults that were formed together. You know, you drink the Kool-Aid, which is actually poison, and you follow me, and we'll do this, and everything's going to be all right. That's, you know what that is? Bad doctrine. That's bad doctrine. People that stand up and claim something contrary to God's word. That's bad doctrine. It was false doctrine that led Hitler to annihilate 9 million people. That was bad doctrine. And we think, yeah, Hitler had bad doctrine, but I'll tell you somebody else that had worse doctrine. It was the Christian church that sat by in silence. That's bad doctrine. It's bad doctrine that permits the church to sit in silence while people are being killed. It's bad doctrine that allows Christians to justify things like abortion. It's bad doctrine. It's bad doctrine when we turn on the news and we see reports of a man who straps a bomb to a chest and walks into a mall or a train station and blows up innocent people. And if you ask them what they are doing, why they are strapping a bomb to themselves, they would tell you that they believe they are accessing God. It's bad doctrine. So it matters what you believe, but it's not merely the fact that you believe it. It's whether or not you believe the truth. That's what's important. That's what matters. So, there is a God. There is one God. Would you say that with me? There is one God. When we believe this, we exclude religions like Buddhism and Hinduism. These are non-theistic religions, which are they are merely thoughts within religions. They don't depend on the existence of God or gods or deities. When we believe there is a God, we exclude things like atheism, which is the absence of belief in the existence of deities. When we believe there is only one God, we think, oh, no, we're by ourselves. No, not necessarily, because think people like Islam. They believe also that there is one God. And the difference is we believe more specifically that God has made himself known to us and is revealed to us in the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And with that understanding, we exclude all other religions. Let's look back to Genesis 1:1. I'm running out of time. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. But there had to be something that took place before creation. Because why? God is eternal. And if you are eternal, that means you have no beginning. I know I'm messing with people right now. But really, if you think about that, God has no beginning. He has no ending. It's kind of unfathomable for us. We're like, what? Wait a minute. What? Well, so what was before the beginning? The word tells us that there is a beginning, but God is before the beginning. So we have to take ourselves, we have to go back, and we have to ask ourselves, what was before the beginning? It leads us to the place, Brother Hogan, where we have to concede that God is above our comprehension. God is outside the realm of our comprehension. Okay? We can't comprehend God. We can't know God. We can't see God. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. You talk about something being terrifying. You talk about something being just, you know, because we are all under the understanding that everything and everyone has a beginning, right? You all have a birthday. Okay? There was a day in the history of time where we were born into this world. We all have an ending. That's how we understand most of everything in this life. And then here we read about a God who is eternal, who has no beginning, who has no ending. And when you try to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, they just don't quite fit. Why? Because you can't comprehend God. You can't know God in that sense. So we have God before the beginning of time. It's just him all by himself. He is all in all. He is God everything. But at the same time, I would submit to you that while he is God everything, he is also God nothing. He is also God nothing. Because what good is it to be love if you have no one to show love to? What good is it to be all powerful full of grace and mercy if there is nobody else to relay that to. So God had to define himself. And the moment he defined himself, who he was, that is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. That was God revealed to us. I want you to understand this morning. God is all powerful. God is almighty. He is full of grace and mercy and love. But if he's all by himself, he's irrelevant. And so he defines himself and he has creation so he can share his love, so he can share his power, so he can show his grace and his mercy. And so all of creation exists to glorify God. And you were created to glorify God. I was created to glorify God. We were all created to glorify God. And how do we glorify God? We glorify him when we know him, when we know truth. Oh, that I might know him. John said, in the beginning was the Word, the self-definition of God, the revealing of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word was made flesh. That Word was made flesh. Amen. Let me tell you this. You and I cannot know God, okay? Because we are finite creatures. We are mortal human beings. And so God had to create a way by which we could know him. And so he defined himself so that we could do that. That's why Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, he was the Lamb slain. Amen. Let me say this. The world was created so that God could be revealed in Christ. That's why it was created. So that he could reveal himself. I'm hurrying here. Matthew 16, another portion of scripture that I mentioned in the beginning. Matthew 16, it's very important that you understand these scriptures. A very significant event is happening right here in this chapter, starting in verse 13. Amen. Where Jesus comes to his disciples and he say, who do men say that I am? And they say, you know, some say you're this guy and some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah and all this stuff. And more importantly, Jesus moves down and he moves down to verse 15. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Let me tell you this. What matters is what do you think about God? Not what your pastor thinks about God. Not what your mom thinks about God. Not what your neighbor thinks about God. Not what the person sitting next to you thinks about God. What do you think about God? Who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now what he was saying, he wasn't saying you are the second person in the Trinity. He wasn't saying you're the second person in the Godhead. You've got to understand that concept was foreign to them at this point in time. They had no idea what that would have been. All that they knew was Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And they understood what Peter said. Thou art the Christ. He was saying, you are the manifestation of God. You are the Son of God, meaning you are the offspring of God. That's why he's called the Son of God. Because remember, God is unknowable. We can't comprehend him. And so he had to have something come out of him by which he could translate and communicate to us who are mortal beings. You and I are flesh and blood. And that holds us back from knowing the unknowable God. So God robed himself in flesh. He was manifested in the flesh. And that is why Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. It's the flesh of God. Peter was acknowledging, saying, you are God in the flesh. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the manifestation of God. You look through scripture, why was Jesus crucified? He was crucified because the accusation against him was that he makes himself what? Equal. Equal with God. Not a part of God, not a second person in the Godhead, not another God. He made himself equal with God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That was a direct reference to the I am that appeared unto Moses through the burning bush. It was the I am was the same God that was there in the Old Testament. That's what Jesus is saying. I am that same God revealed unto you. Here I am. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is standing right here in front of you today. I am. Here I am. Delivered to you in flesh. Back to Matthew 16, Jesus responded, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter." Right here he changes his name from Simon Barjona to Peter. And he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Upon this rock. The name Peter in this translation means a piece of the rock. But the word that is translated rock in that means the rock. So when he changed Peter's name from Simon, he was saying, "You are no longer Simon, but now you are a piece of the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church." Can I say this? The church was not built on the personality of a man named Peter, but the church was built upon the act that Peter had just done. And what was that? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Would you clap your hands unto the Lord this morning? It was built upon the true confession of who Jesus was. The church is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's built upon his true identity. So why does this make a difference? I'm hurrying to a close. Why does this make a difference? Five men in the New Testament are recorded of being healed from blindness. Five men in the New Testament this happens to. Now what's interesting is when you look at those episodes, almost every one of them, when Jesus walks by these men, does anybody remember what they were saying? What they were crying out? "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, thou Son of David. Can I tell you, that title, Son of David, was one of the titles that was reserved for the manifested God, the Messiah that would come. And while the crowds gathered around him and they were merely interested in just miracles, thinking that he was just a miracle worker, they could not see truth when it looked them in the eye, when he was standing right in front of them. A blind man that could not see had more perception. He said, "I might not be able to see. I might not be able to see who's walking by, but I can hear his voice. And it isn't the voice of another man. This isn't the voice of somebody else. This is the voice of God manifested in the flesh. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And I love the people. They tried to quiet it down. "Shh, be quiet. You need calm down a little bit, sir. You need to back up just a little bit. Calm down." But I'm telling you, when you get a revelation of Jesus Christ, ain't nobody going to tell you to be quiet. Ain't nobody going to shut you down. Ain't nobody going to say, "Stop clapping, stop worshiping," because you know. You know truth. You know truth. Would you stand with me this morning? When you know truth, church, you won't care how the service is going. You won't care who's there or who's not there. You won't care who's worshiping or not worshiping. But you understand we are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you know truth, you'll step outside of your comfort zone. And when you do that, you'll put yourself in position to receive a miracle. You'll put yourself in position to receive a blessing. I close with this. The last book of the Bible. Somebody know the last book of the Bible? The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The Revelation of Jesus Christ is the last book of the Bible. There's a reason that it ends that way, because that's what it's all about.
And when the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ comes to an end, can I tell you that all will know who he is? Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It didn't say every saved knee. It didn't say every born again knee. It didn't say every believer will confess. It said every knee throughout eternity. Before they enter into their places, into their choices of eternal destiny, they will know and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ is going to be so powerful that every knee will bow. Even those that are on their way to eternal damnation will be so overcome with the revelation of who he is that in spite of their understanding of where they are going to end up, they are still going to bow and acknowledge him as Lord. Acknowledge him of who he is. Church, I submit to you today that you someday are going to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. You someday are going to get down on your knees and confess. But the question that to each and every individual exists, the question is, will it be over there or will it be right here this morning? Will it be in this place where we submit, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? I confess. I know who you are. A very wise man said this one time, buy the truth and sell it not. Didn't say if it's on sale, buy it. Didn't say if you have a coupon, buy it. Didn't even mention the cost. Just to buy the truth and sell it not. The cost is different to each and every person. Some of you have had a harder way to go. Not all of us were raised in church. Some of us have a different way, a tougher path than the person sitting next to you. For some, the cost is a little more. But buy the truth and sell it not. It might hurt a little bit more than others, but buy the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes. Oh, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him. Would you close your eyes, lift your hands?